This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Dwight Graydon, a number of years back in a meeting that we had, said to me, "Steve, do you know what the number one stated imperative command is in Scripture as judged by frequency? In other words, what's the most you see a command in Scripture? The command that's stated the most? Do not fear. Do not be afraid." When you look at the frequency of that statement, "do not be afraid," it is clearly the most frequent number one imperative command in Scripture. Do not be afraid. Why do I want to talk about it? For years, I've been doing assessments and interviews of those heading to the field like yourself. And when I ask the question, "What do you anticipate as the greatest struggle?" Do you know what the number one answer is? Learning another language. Learning another language. The great theologian Jerry Seinfeld said, "Most people would rather die than do the eulogy at their own funeral." Public speaking, number one fear. What's the dynamic equivalent in the missions world? Learning another language. And here you are coming in saying, "I want developed, I want equipped. Please help me as we go forward." And I think one of my biggest joys is seeing the change that goes on in this community, in each individual heart, as you leave very confident that this is very possible. I can do this. I'm a pastor by heart, a clinical psychologist by trade. But I remember when I started my schooling, one of the things that it started with was, "Please list all the words, the feeling words that you know." And I was pretty typical male. You feel bad, you feel yucky, you feel ugly, you feel angry. And that was it. So I've gravitated to what are the general words, emotions that we have? What are the primary, if there's primary colors, what are the primary emotions? Mad, glad, sad, and fear, in case you're looking for them. And often there can be a lot of richness found in diving into Scripture about each of those issues. Strangely so, one of them, fear, is coupled with the most frequent command of "do not be afraid." Fear is very easy to know that we have it in our lives, right? Because you can go, "Okay, in elementary school, what were my fears? Did you ever not want to hang your hand over the edge of your bed?" I struggled with that because I thought there was monsters under the bed that might grab my hand. Monsters, Inc. helped me with that one. But man, I have kids. I have four young kids, 12, 10, 8, and 5. And it seems like every other night there's a new fear. You know, "The stuffed animal at the end of my bed is scaring me," was last night's, you know. It's your stuffed animal. You play with it all day. It's Rover. See, fears are easy to track. You know what? There's one place that fears are not easy to track right now, and I believe it's in our culture. Our culture is a fear-mongering culture, and we've become so accustomed to it, we don't even see it anymore. It in places as benign as Reader's Digest. You're like, "Where are you going with this?" Have you ever read a Reader's Digest, a full thing in which there's not a shark attack, there's not a bear attack, there's not germs and microbes that are going to kill you, there's not something that is bad that could happen to you that happened to somebody else and now you should fear it? Have you ever watched more than 30 minutes of a television program in which either in the television program or the commercial, it's not enticing you through fear? You are in a culture in which you don't even see how fear is manipulating your buying, manipulating the way that you spend your life. You know it. It's easy to track for you in your personal life, but we are not always aware of the impact that fear creates on us. I bring this up, this devotional. It may not hit you today because you may not be in a place where you're in touch with the things that rattle you, that bring you discouragement and fear. But maybe it'll ring true later. So let me go down a road of telling you what I've found. With Dwight's challenge, I decided to go back. I decided to be noble and say, is this really in Scripture? I want to look at every verse that says, do not be afraid. And as one individual, as a brother in Christ, here I want to tell you the observations of what I found in Scripture when I looked at every verse, every imperative that said, do not be afraid. Here's the first observation. God never says, do not be afraid, unless there's the emotion of fear at the time. It's really strange, but every time he said, do not be afraid, Moses, don't be afraid, Joshua, don't be afraid, Mary, don't be afraid, Joseph, don't be afraid, it was always said when they were terrified. Some strong emotion was going on for them, and God wanted to speak to them. So it wasn't said in the absence, like, here's a good thing to think about. When fear finally hits you someday, don't be afraid. I think God wants to speak to us in the midst of our strong emotions is what I take out of that. When you have a strong emotion, sometimes we go within and try to figure it out ourselves. God says, no, bring it to me. Even in areas of grief, God says things like, I long for them to cry out to me from their hearts, but they wail upon their beds. It's consistent with other emotions. When we're in the midst of a strong emotion, God wants to speak to us and with us. Fear is no exception. Every time God says, do not be afraid, there's that emotion. Here's another observation. I found that every time it was stated, do not be afraid, it was personalized. The person's name was used. Or if God was talking to Jacob or Israel, the people's name was used. It was never, here's just a nice thought, don't be afraid. No, it was like this. It read like this. This is Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Rob. He who formed you, Scott. Fear not, for I have redeemed you and summoned you by name, Beth. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, Erica. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. Isn't it take on a whole different meaning when you hear your name in there? Did it do so for those of you that I said your name? Something goes on where it gets your attention a little bit more. He's speaking to me. This just isn't a blanket concept. God wants to speak to me personally. So an observation, you make the implications what you want out of it. But every time God says, do not be afraid, he names the person by name. Interesting. Another observation is that every time in Scripture that it was said, do not be afraid, it is also given a reason or a way to fight the fear. Okay, so this for me redefined everything. It wasn't, do not be afraid. Stop it. Stop it. Just knock it off. You're doing a bad thing. Bad, bad, bad. Stop it. It wasn't a sense of, do not be afraid. You shouldn't be here in the first place. It was, do not be afraid. And here's how you battle it. Do not be afraid. I love you. Do not be afraid. You're precious to me. Do not be afraid. I am with you and will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. I have called you to this and have given the people to you. Do not be afraid. I will fight for you. There's always a follow-up of why and how you can fight the fear. And it always involves a relinquishing to God. But there's always a way in which to battle fear. I don't see a do not be afraid as if you should be inhuman and never have the fear in the first place, but rather battle through it. Just the same way you see in James, when you get the strong emotion that goes on in times of trial, consider it all joy, brothers, when you encounter various trials. Well, why do we have to consider it? Because our first reaction is not joy in trials. God wants to take the strong emotion and have us do something with it. And so that's another thought for you to think about. There's two other things that I noticed that are not always observations. They're Often I found that when it was stated in Scripture, do not be afraid, it was stated, do not be discouraged, and it was often stated, be strong and courageous. Fear that is left unattended to turns into paralyzing discouragement. Vince Lombardi says, fatigue makes cowards of us all. I would like to say, fear makes spiritual paralytics of us all. It paralyzes us from moving forward in a strong and courageous way for what God has for us. Since the time that I did this research, I've also been pondering another thought, something maybe to leave you with. I know most people speak and they say, I've got it all figured out. I don't. I'm finding that behind every fear I have and those around me is an idol. If you search for it, you find an idol that you worship behind your fear. It may be that you worship being in control. It may be that you worship your reputation higher than your calling or your relationship with Christ. I don't know what it is, but dig around a little bit for what it's worth. Just some thoughts to ponder. As you move forward in your ministry overseas, I would hope out of this that you remember that it's natural to have thoughts and feelings of fear. When they show up, maybe entertain the thought that God wants to speak to you in the middle of it. He wants to summon you by name, and he wants to give you a way to battle it rather than letting it turn into spiritual paralyzation. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you for the way that they're pushing into the tension of saying, I may have some underlying concerns, reservations about learning another language, but I know that you have called me to this and you will develop and equip what is needed. As I take the great name of Jesus Christ and his great love and forgiveness to people that have not heard about you in another culture, God, I pray that you would bless them for that. Thank you for the richness that's found in your word, and even more so the richness that's found in our relationship with you. In your most precious name, Jesus. Amen.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.